Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Watchman. Today, as we go live and talk about some of the issues that are affecting the world that we live in currently. And thank you so much for joining us. Today, I'm joined here with Derek, as usual. And we are going to be discussing issues that have been cropping up in the time that we've been away. First of all, there was an election in Israel that pulled together what was called the most right-wing government because Benjamin Netanyahu, himself a right-wing person, went and did a coalition with people who are a lot more right-wing, a lot of religious Zionists, and a party which had a lot of people. And now Netanyahu required to have an alliance with those people to get over the number that is required of 61 number of parliamentary seats for him to be declared prime minister or to be given an opportunity to form a government. So so now he's in the process of trying to form a government. Of course, sometimes those things fail because the coalitions, if you don't agree on which positions, they can pull out and suddenly you fall below the 61. But I don't anticipate that happening because this coalition has been built over a period of time. So Netanyahu is going to be the next prime minister of Israel in a matter of days. And so a number of things that means, because part of his coalition are people who intend to have the status quo that is at the Temple Mount reversed. Because at the Temple Mount, only Muslims are allowed to go and worship because they have two mosques there, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. However, Jews who want to go there, to the Temple Mount, to that place which had Solomon's Temple, and also the temple which was built after that, cannot go there. That has been the way it has been. But now, over the past short time, when there was a bit of, in fairness, even the previous prime minister was a bit right-wing. So Jews were cropping up there slowly, but you know, it was done sort of behind the scenes so as not to create any kind of havoc. However, now it is becoming a lot more overt. And there's that leader of the religious Zionists, who is part of the coalition that has formed a government with Netanyahu, with the Likud party, who is calling for an open, you know, revisit of the status quo. What does that mean?
Well, that's very important, not just for Israel, but also for the church, because when Benjamin Netanyahu now goes and eventually gets the right number of people and now is becomes prime minister officially, like you said, it's going to mean that a number of those positions will be given to people who have views that threaten the status quo, like you've just said. So one of these guys is a guy called Itamar Ben-Gvir, whose party is calling for outright Jewish sovereignty. And what they're saying, some of their views include absolute rights on the Temple Mount, and especially the Al-Aqsa compound, where they believe the Third Temple must be rebuilt, which is another important thing that they're calling for. They're saying that they must return to the Jewish worship as it was. And so what that requires is that there has to be a temple built, because they cannot return to the Jewish worship as it is in the Old Testament without the presence of a temple. Now, that has put Netanyahu at a risk, and as even listening to a clip where the current the president of Israel, a man called Herzog, I think, was caught on a hot mic saying that these men are dangerous for, you know, for world peace, because some of the views they're pushing for are going to outrightly threaten the status quo. And what he was implying to was this gentleman here, because the party he leads gained doubled its number in the Knesset, and that gave it a leeway. Now, the position he's looking for is so vital. He's looking for a position of police minister. So that therefore means he has the power to allow or disallow whoever wants to access that place of the Temple Mount. And that is very important, because if the status quo which is overseen by the state of Jordan, is interrupted in any way, it is going to push the sort of present peace, which is really not peace because there are stabbings and terrorist attacks here and there, but it's going to push it to the very edge. And we already have Iran vowing and saying, this new government, we are ready to, you know, all options are on the table. They have even paused this nuclear deal of theirs, saying it is on a hold until they can ascertain that Israel or the U.S. government will make sure that the treaty is as it was in the times of Obama. But this this coalition is going to now have us see a lot of talk around the rebuilding of the third temple, which is important for end times. Yes,
yes it is, because we know that, of course, the Lord cannot come back until that third temple is rebuilt. Because remember, but then we also know that for the Antichrist to be completely revealed as the Antichrist, he has to stand in that temple and declare that he is God.
Yes.
And that is what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. When the Antichrist stands in the temple, some say actually in the Holy of Holies, what would be the Holy of Holies of the temple, and declare that he is God and is worthy of worship. That is when now the final 3.5 years of the, you know, or the, what is called the Great Tribulation starts after the abomination that causes desolation.
Yes.
Spoken of course, in Matthew 24 and spoken of also in Daniel. So building of the temple is so important. And of course, there has not been a time when people thought it would be built. But then there have been, and that because all the people from the Levites have been trained to carry out the sacrifices the way they used to be. Now remember, they have been looking for a red heifer, which is very important for the temple because it's mentioned in Numbers chapter 19 about a red heifer and how the red heifer is used to cleanse the water from, you know,
for purification of
purification,
sins.
Is from the red heifer. Now we are looking for a red heifer that suits what the scripture describes and what has been done previously. And I'm sure you heard that they got one from Texas.
Yes, and not just one.
A number of them, yeah.
Yes, yes. It's a very, because people need to understand what this whole red heifer talk is all about, because I'm sure anyone who looks into it will find it in the news. But a red heifer is simply a red cow. Now this, you know, and it's a female. The female cow, which has not given birth, has never been pregnant, has never been milked, and has never been yoked, which means it has not, you know, carried out any farm labors like an oxen would. Now the criteria for choosing this red heifer, which causes a lot of talk about it, is so strict, because it is said that not that a presence of two black hairs invalidates a red heifer.
Yes, the all its hairs have to be red.
Yes, the process is so strict. And it's actually considered a biological anomaly for you to find a perfect red heifer. And now, for over thousands of years, which they say about 2,000 years, they have been on a hunt of... of course, they are now more interested in looking for a red heifer because there's talk about a temple. But now, it has been very difficult to find them. But now here we have five, which were announced in the news by this organization called the Temple Institute, a very big institute which has already laid out all the plans for the temple as it is in the Old Testament, as was given by Moses and built by Solomon. They have also already found all the instruments necessary for carrying out the duties in the temple. They have already found all the music instruments that the Levites will use, and you've mentioned that Levites are already being trained. They've already they rolled it out in 2016. They're teaching Levites, and recently in I think the month of October, when they had that holiday of the Tabernacle of Booths, that harvest festival of theirs, they called for Levites to come and sing songs of worship on the steps of the Temple Mount, and many Jews from the tribe of Levi showed up, and they are, so it's out there, it's no longer a secret. Levites are being trained, they are already worshipping, and actually even the other important element necessary for the third temple is that priestly garment with those 12 precious stones that Temple Institute has already found it. They have half a ton of a menorah, you know, as as it is in the Old Testament, this institute has taken very, very great steps in having it ready.
So let's read about the Red Heifer. Now, all that is left is the politics.
Yes.
To clear that path.
Exactly.
To clear the way for them to actually build the third temple. Mm. Because they have even done a simulation of how the temple will look like outside, built a small version and what. And, you know, they can actually build it in a very short time. Mm. Because, of course, of the technology that you read. Now, Numbers 19, this is what the scripture are talking about, the red heifer. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come." Now, what you said, what he calls a defect, is any black hair or any other color of hair. Mm. It has to be completely red. Mm. Now, verse 3, same chapter, Numbers 19. "You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with its finger, and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Mm. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned, all of them burnt all together.
Yes.
And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water, and afterwards shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer." Now here is where it's important.
Yes.
"And store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them." Hmm. Now, okay, I shall not go into the details of all of it, but it's saying that the water which comes out of the burning of it's the ashes, they are stored somewhere. Now, when the children of Israel come for the purpose of purification of sins, they get those ashes and mix them in water, and that's what they sprinkle on them to make them clean.
Mm.
So it is part of the a very necessary part of their worship.
Yes.
And they had to find the red heifer. So what we are saying is they found five somewhere in Texas.
Mm.
There's been actually a real hunt for red heifers because it was necessary for all these things to happen. So what we are saying is that all that was left for it to happen, for all these things to happen, is the politics to come in place.
Mm.
Where the temple is supposed to be built is where there is the compound of
the Alaska Mosque.
Mm. And that's the place where they are supposed to build the temple. And actually, even when the Ottomans, the Muslims were building that mosque there, they actually thought they had got spot on where Solomon's temple was. That was the purpose, to build the mosque exactly where Solomon's temple was.
Mm.
But they misfired.
Yeah.
And the scripture says that actually in the latter chapters of Ezekiel, about 43, 44, that they will get it wrong. And then there's a way, you know those chapters in Ezekiel where he talks about get a measuring rod. He also talks a bit, they also talk a bit about it in Revelation 11, where he says measure, and this is where the temple will be. And the exact space where the temple, and they are talking about the third temple, this one we're talking about. And then they says the others shall be left to the Gentiles for the mosques and what. So there's going to be a way for them to coexist in that place.
Mm.
Now that is where the problem is going to come, because the Muslims have been used to having it all to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Jews and even all Israeli governments, they had not touched that status quo because it would cause a lot of controversy.
Yes.
And they were not ready for that.
Mm.
But now that it took Netanyahu to go be with Benville, who is a very, very, very right-wing Zionist, for him to become prime minister.
Mm.
And now this man brought a lot of Knesset seats to the coalition. So he has a lot of leverage.
Mm.
Now the question is Netanyahu going to be bold enough to actually let that happen, because if he does, that's going to be something.
Yes, yes. I was reading up on that man, and I found that, you know, Israel requires every male to be conscripted in the army and serve for a time. But for this guy, they said, we have exempted you because of his views.
Actually, not just him. The whole religious, whatever. They are
totally kept out.
They are sect. Mm. They do not conscript into the army because they are the ones who have the long beard and that round hat on the top and so on. Even their children and all that. So they exempted from that. And how do they get that exemption? Because they vote for their party. Mm. They have a party which they vote for, and that party usually gets somewhere between 10 to 15 Knesset seats. Mm. Now, anybody who is going to form a coalition to make the 61 required seats needs to talk to them. And for the most part, Netanyahu has been being prime minister by having to talk to them and accepting to that condition of theirs, among others. Mm. The others about settlements and, you know, building settlements and so on.
Yes.
But just to explain to you the way the Israeli democracy works, it is 120 seats in their parliament, which is called the Knesset. And for somebody to be prime minister or to form a government and lead the government, his party or a coalition that he leads has to have at least 61, a simple majority.
Mm.
61 out of the 120. 60, it's a deadlock. 61, you have an outright majority. But then they never, hardly ever get above 60 themselves. What happens is there is an election, and usually the leading party, which are very popular, get 40 and below. 35.
Mm.
So you still have to go and look for other parties
to
make the 61 seats in their parliament for you to be prime minister. Now, this Likud party, of course, could not make the 61 on its own. So they had to go and deal with these people. Now, these people, for them, what they do is they always vote for their party.
Mm.
So they always get some seats in the parliament. Now, also the Israeli Arabs, who are about 1.6 million, also are trying to create a similar scenario where they vote for their party and then they can enter into a government, most likely with a left-leaning prime minister, and they offer their seats in exchange for some, you know, privileges here and there for the Arabs. But now it is these Zionists who are in charge because their seats were enough to get Netanyahu across the line. And now this guy is very determined, by the way, to have this Temple Mount, because he has been talking about it. And now there was a survey I was reading somewhere, saying something above 60%, 64%, if I remember well, of Israelis who were interviewed said that they are in favor
of the rebuilding of the temple.
Rebuilding of the temple.
Yes.
Now that means the politics is right.
Mm-hmm.
The populism is in place.
Yes.
Every other thing,
and
as
the
we
religion
mentioned,
is ready. And the money, the technology. I think we've just been waiting for a moment like this.
Yes. So how close does this happen?
I think that I think the Prime Minister Benjamin is going to try and slow it as best as he can.
Mm.
But seeing that this is one of the core values of these Zionist parties, I don't see him delaying it any longer than a couple of years.
Yeah, and the reason that's important is because, of course, if he did it now, there's going to be a lot of resistance from America.
Yes.
But maybe if he delays it, he can hope that, because today, Donald Trump, last night actually, announced that he's running for president, and now it's official. Of course, it's been, everybody kind of knew it, but now it's official.
Mm.
He's running for president. Now, of course, you know Donald Trump was here, Netanyahu. We're almost reading out of the same script. Now, 2 years, maybe if there is a change of government, if it's not Trump, but if it's not a Democrat in America, then maybe the situation might be a bit more favorable for Israel to go in that direction.
Yes.
But right now, I don't know. It is, but then anything is possible, because first of all, even UN, you were telling me.
Yes. So there's the UN non-proliferation treaty. And what that just means is that they have an anti-nuclear treaty. So every nation that is against nuclear weapons is a member of that group. But Israel is not a member of that group for peculiar reasons, because they neither deny
nor confirm.
Nor confirm that they have nuclear weapons.
Mm.
But what they have is nuclear power plants for electricity and creating energy. So recently, last month in October, the UN voted on a resolution telling Israel to get rid of all its nuclear weapons, which, remember, it does not confirm possession of. But they so over 152 countries voted for it, and only 5 against it. And so the calculation there is that's 79%. Of all UN member states voted saying Israel should give up its atomic bombs. They seem to be sure that Israel has nuclear weapons, which Israel does not, publicly acknowledge. But the thing is that Israel has also not allowed this agency called the International Atomic Energy Agency from visiting its nuclear power plants. So it has left a lot of suspicion about whether or not it has atomic bombs, for good reasons, I believe, personally, because if either side it takes creates a problem for it, because Iran is, wants to get a nuclear weapon to hit the Zionist state, as it calls it. And here now we have, like we've been saying, a government in Israel, which is clearly now Zionist. We might as well just call it pro-Zionist, much more than ever before. Of course, they've always been advocating for Zion and what. But now, here we have the UN voting, saying that Israel, amongst all other nations which have, nuclear weapons, should give up its nuclear... Now, that's a problem, because if it dares give up its nuclear weapons, or, which we know it has, it now gives the Middle East leeway
it would cease to exist.
Yes, they would totally finish it.
But of course, that's what UN wants, because UN is the devil's body.
Yes.
That internationalism thing and globalist thing. That's what they want for Israel. But now, what we will see as we go on towards even the rebuilding of the temple is there's going to be the usual thing of everybody turning a spirit that makes everybody hate Jews, and they just find themselves hating Jews.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
And now that is the Antichrist spirit.
Mm.
The Antichrist spirit throughout Scripture has had one thing in common, and that is hatred of Jews.
Mm.
The Antichrist spirit, which was in on Haman in the book of Esther, and all the other people who have actually come in there and been a type of Antichrists, even all the way up to Nebuchadnezzar going and destroying Judah, even much later on, in contemporary times, in the days Adolf Hitler,
yes,
his hatred for Jews was all about the Antichrist spirit, and now that's what it has. Okay, now if you read Revelation 12, you see what it's talking about, that the devil coming straight to attack Israel because he doesn't like the fact that Israel is giving birth to the Messiah.
Yes.
And now that's very clear in Revelation 12. So now the reason I say some of these things is because when the media starts pushing Israel is what is the cause of all these things. The last time it happened in the presidency of Obama, very, very much, I realized that even so many believers were getting drawn into that whole hatred. Everything is owned by the Jews own this and what. Mm. And now it's even starting. I'm seeing this Kanye West started a whole bandwagon of people hating on Israel and so on, hating on Jews, claiming that blacks are Jews and stuff like that, which really is like... But in Revelation 12, it speaks about that in heaven. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now that is a symbol of Israel.
Yes.
Because when you read earlier, from Joseph's dreams in the book of Genesis, I think 37, when Joseph was dreaming, he dreamt when the sun, the moon, and the stars bowed down to his star, which means he was talking about Israel and... Israel, his father, and his mother, and his brothers, he called them stars, and they were bowing down to Easter. So that's a symbol of Israel. Then said, then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another side appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon. Of course, that's the devil, having seven heads and ten horns. That is the Antichrist system, the system that brings him into government.
Yes.
And seven diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. This, of course, is a picture of the Christ, and later on the church being born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And that child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she was a place was prepared by God that they should feed her for 1,260 days. Now, of course, the woman, of course, the child caught up to God, you know, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And now the woman is Israel, who gave birth to the Lord. You know, but then it says here, now when the third of the stars fall down to heaven. Now, stars talking about the fallen angels.
Yes.
Remember when the devil fell, he fell with a third of the angels.
Yes.
Now they are somewhere, you know. Mm. Now they come down to earth, come down to earth. And it speaks about this.
Yeah.
And then they come down in the time of the great tribulation. And now the woman, who is Israel, has to run somewhere and hide herself. Because now the whole system of the Antichrist, the seven heads and ten horns, and the whole United Nations system, the whole world system is coming against Israel. The enemy, because they are driven by the devil.
Yes.
And the enemy now, number one, will be Israel.
Mm.
And they will all come against Israel. But then it says, God has prepared a place for her, that he should feed her. For 1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years, if you count the 30-day month, the way the Jewish calendar is. So it's exactly 42 months.
Mm.
And 42 months and 30 days a month, like the Jewish calendar is 1,260 days. So for 3.5 years. Those 3.5 years are the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, when Israel will be protected by God. Now in Daniel chapter 12, he talks about the archangel Michael, who comes and fights on behalf of Israel in that period, because the whole world would be against Israel.
Mm.
Now, towards the end of the 3.5 years, of course, the United Nations system comes and now gets somewhere close. And they are fighting not just Israel, they are fighting for Jerusalem. Now the devil, because God says, you know, it's where is, you know, his city.
Yes.
37 times in the Old Testament, God calls Jerusalem his city.
Mm.
So the devil wants Jerusalem.
Mm.
And so they come to fight for the Jerusalem. And then they come, and they take even a fraction of it, according to the book of Zechariah. So when they take a fraction of Jerusalem, now that is when Israeli army has resisted. They have already, by this time, they have already used nuclear weapons. They have them and they are going to use them. The Bible says that. But still, they will come for them. And this is the battle of Armageddon. Now they will think they have cornered Israel, but according to the scripture, God says he will put a hook into all the nations and bring them to the battle of Megiddo for judgment. So they will come against Israel, and yet God will say that he's the one who is bringing them there for judgment. And then that's where it will happen, because when they come there and Israel seems to be cornered and is has her back to the wall, and they are looking around and saying, now where next here? Then of course they remember that they are supposed to have a Messiah, and then who is supposed to save them at times like this. Only they've never believed that Jesus is the Messiah. So they will say that, so they cry out to God in that moment.
Yes.
And they say, now, Messiah, where are you? Because, we are being run over.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not come to save us now, we are going to be run over.
Mm.
And then the scripture says, also in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and a lot of this is chapter 12 and chapter 14, in the book Zechariah. Then that's when now the heavens roar away, and then Jesus comes now in his glory. Now that's at the end of the Great Tribulation. Now that's not the rapture, that's at the end of the Great Tribulation, the second coming, when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom on earth. Now he comes down at that point, And then all the armies of the world which had attacked Israel melt away at the, you know, the sight of his glory. And they see him. The Bible says they see him actually descending from the throne. Because the heavens roll away like a scroll. It says that in Revelation chapter 9, starting from verse 13. It says the heavens roll away like a scroll, and then the Son of, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ comes now with his glory. Now when he comes, it says he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain is split in two parts. Now when the mountain is split, then they run to him, and now of course they see him in his glory. Now they acknowledge he's the Messiah, and then the scripture says that they run to him and they say, they look at him, and then he has two wounds in his hands, you know, in his palms. And then they ask him, where did you get these wounds from? And then he tells them that I got these wounds from the house of my friends. Then that's when the Jews will realize that actually Jesus who was crucified is the Messiah. That's when they will believe in him. And those who are alive that day will be saved, all of them who are alive that day. Now, what we are talking about here is how are we getting closer and closer to the realization of these things. How is the politics and all the other things coming around to the realization of these things? The war, the nuclear war, but the war that the Bible speaks about in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12, and also Revelation, still again, chapter 9, the nuclear war that is spoken about here is coming close, is getting ever closer. We spoke about this in previous recordings here for the Watchman. We spoke about how Russia the other day, there were European countries were simulating a Russian attack in California. So they seem to believe that maybe at some stage Russia would attack. I do not know. But there is a lot of talk of war. It has only been silenced a bit right now because Putin seems to have taken a back step. The war, of course, in Ukraine is cooling down because of winter, mostly because of the weather. Because the winter in those places is very, very bad. It's not easy for anybody to be fighting in that winter. So it will probably resume around March or April next year. So for now, it has cooled down a bit. Putin has pulled out of certain
areas.
Because there's nothing there. And even the Ukrainians believe there are landmines all over, so they are not going to go and take them over as they would have. But then, now, by UN telling Israel to give up its nuclear weapons, they're actually just getting Israel closer to using those nuclear weapons. Because why should... how many countries have nuclear weapons? Because India has nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Okay? Of course, North Korea, they have been down that road. America, Russia, China, okay? France, UK, all have nuclear weapons. Okay, the other ones are members, permanent members of the UN.
China as well.
There's China. The others are permanent members of the UN, security. What's it called? UN?
Security Council.
Security Council.
Yes.
So maybe for them they're kind of exempt. But there's India, which isn't. There's Pakistan, which isn't. Now Iran is also on the brink. So now those guys who international
atomic agency
who want to go and inspect Israel, they are kidding themselves. There's no Israel is going to let them there because they are actually going there as they go to spy to spy for certain interests. So Israel is not going to be so stupid to allow them there. Even Iran doesn't allow them to actually inspect its nuclear facilities. They keep them at a distance and tell them, here is what we are doing. We need nuclear for power, for energy, not for... And we are not enriching our uranium enough to put it on a warhead in a way that can make it dangerous. So there's a lot of lies going on, but these people still insist that they can... They can take the nuclear weapons away from Israel. That is not going to happen. But it is just setting the tone for what might eventually be the use of those nuclear weapons.
And it is clear from scripture that first of all, like you've said, Israel does have nuclear weapons. It may not politically acknowledge, but the Bible says it does, and the Bible is not.
Yeah, and even Israel have themselves more or less acknowledged. Because I was seeing Netanyahu on the 70th
anniversary.
Saying that, and he was at the base where they believed the nuclear weapons are believed to be. And he was saying that, we'll use them. We'll use he didn't mention nuclear weapons, but he kind of said, when we come under the existential threat.
Every means necessary.
Yes. But now, this is the whole thing. Now, here is the issue. The Alaska Mosque, or rather the Temple Mount, and the building of the temple, might get some of the Muslim nations, which had kind of cooled down their bad relations with Israel, to kind of awaken again. These include like Bahrain, United Arab Emirates,
Saudi Arabia,
even Saudi Arabia. But now mightn't that cause a rift again?
Yes.
And that also fits perfectly well in the scenario painted by Bible prophecy, because we have a scenario where the scripture says many countries come up against Israel in some kind of confederacy or coalition to attack Israel. And they come through the north. That means through either Turkey, Russia, and through Syria, through the Golan Heights to come and attack Israel. And then it says that when they get there, God causes an earthquake and a confusion among them. This is what the Bible calls the war of Gog and Magog. And then one country turns against the other. And then they start hitting each other. Yet they came against Israel. But now they start hitting each other. And that's how the victory is going to be achieved for Israel. Because the scripture says clearly it's going to be an army of 200 million people. So, and they're attacking a country which has even less, a population of less than 20 million people. So God is going to do something, of course. And then also it says Israel will use the nuclear weapons. It says that. So somewhere between nuclear and God causing confusion. Now, the reason this is important is because if there's some kind of, first of all, the reason these countries are in some in good relations with Israel, let's say, some of these Muslim countries, is because they prefer, seem to prefer Israel to Iran. Because they are Sunni Muslims, and Iran is a Shia Muslim country, but with a lot of power. And the relationship with Saudi Arabia is not good. And Iran came up very strong criticizing Saudi Arabia when there was a stampede at the Kaaba. And Iran was, they lost some, you know, Iranian citizens. And Iran came out very, very, very scathing in the attack. So the relationship is not good. And Saudi Arabia does not want Iran to get a nuclear weapon, almost as much as Israel doesn't want Iran to get that nuclear weapon.
And they're also fighting in Yemen with the Houthi rebels.
So there's actually a proxy war between these two countries. So they don't want them. However, one thing that might get Saudi Arabia and Iran to be together is if Israel says they are going to the Temple Mount to build the temple. Now, maybe Iran and Israel, sorry, Iran and Saudi Arabia and all the other Muslim nations will put aside their differences for the purpose of saving the Temple Mount from Jewish, as it were, encroachment. But then that truce would be a very shaky truce, because now they say, let's come against Israel to save the Temple Mount. But then when they come, they still don't like each other, and they still have suspicions towards each other. But now they have put aside those suspicions for the sake of Israel and the Temple Mount. So when they come together, as the scripture says in Ezekiel 38 and 39, maybe that's the time when now Israel ceases to be the bigger enemy. And now instead of them fighting Israel, Iran turns against Saudi Arabia, and the other way around, and the Sunnis turn against the Shias, and then they bring each other down. That war, by the way, is going to cause a death of a third of mankind. Which, going by current population, is just over 2.5 billion people. So it's going to be a very, very big killer, but a very brief war, according to the Bible. So in Isaiah chapter 17, it says a very, very brief war, but then very deadly. That means nuclear weapons are going to be used. There's no doubt about that. So all these things seem to create what I call a perfect storm as we get closer to what the Bible has, I mean, what Bible prophecy tells us is definitely going to happen.
I've been observing what role the interfaith movement will play, because although the Muslims have a lot of differences, I believe that Temple Mount unifies all of them, as you know, a very sacred. It's one of the most sacred sites in their faith. But now here we have a one-world religion, which has also you know, made great steps in unifying Judaism, which is for the Jews, and then Islam for the Muslims, and Christianity for the Christians. And so I've been thinking about what kind of role it is going to play around the rebuilding of the Third Temple, because I don't see the Muslims being quiet about it, as the temple is being rebuilt, like if clearly painted. But then I also see Christians and Jews, obviously, because Christians will always support, a large majority will always support Jews. I see I see a conflict there, and I'm wondering what role the One World Religion or the False Prophet is going to play in all of this. I think it's going to be an interesting thing to see how he will allow some sort of, peace to prevail as they build this.
Yeah, it's happening now. It's unfolding very fast. But then there's something also, so we talked about as we're getting on air, which is of interest. First of all, I would like to tell you that there's going to be a rolling out of a yellow fever vaccine. That's the plan. A rolling out of a yellow fever vaccine. And we've been looking at the documents from the Minister of Health, their own documents. These vaccines have quite a bit of aluminium. Now, aluminium is ingestible in human beings, as eaten through food, because our digestive systems have the ability to eliminate it, that which is not needed. However, if it is directed, put into the blood, it is very dangerous because it goes straight to the brain and is the leading cause of autism among children. But now they are going to roll it out, and it is going to be very, very, very dangerous. I am telling you that I'm telling you based on the documents that we ourselves have seen of the things which are at Minister of Health.
Yes.
So now, unfortunately, our Minister of Health has turned against Ugandans, and you were speaking about the climate change conference, which was somewhere in Egypt. And one of the biggest things that they are talking about is reducing world population. Tell me about it.
So they sat in Egypt, and they resolved that in order to help the world get rid of climate change, they have to focus on the population, because their broadcast is that half the world's population will suffer the effects of climate change by 2030. Again, that year, very important, 2030, because when COVID was being rolled out in 2020, they declared a great reset, or what they called a decade of reset for everything in the world. Now, it's important when they say by 2030, they are just merely messaging and saying this is the agenda. Now, there is a clip on on YouTube which might be hard to find, but there's this evil man Bill Gates was displaying a climate change formula, which is their formula, and it goes like this: it goes CO2, which we know they say carbon emissions, is produced by people, that is P times S, meaning services per person. So people multiplied by services offered by each person, multiplied by E, which is energy per person. In other words, that every service offered by a person is emitting or is using energy. And then this, therefore, leads to carbon emissions or carbon dioxide per unit of energy. It sounds like a scientific formula, which it is, for the very reason that the world has been taught to trust the science.
What they want to reduce, because when they are talking about population control, and I want you to listen to this, everybody, when they are talking about population control, they are no longer talking about birth control.
Yes.
Previously, it was family planning, give birth to less children, make sure you can take care of your children, and so on. So they were planning to reduce the population of the world that is coming into the world. But now they've moved to the higher gear.
Yes.
It is about killing. Or mass murdering those who are already on earth. We cannot put it any better than that. And they are speaking it openly. This is not conspiracy. They are speaking it openly. It was open at the COP27, which happened in Egypt. Reduce the population of the world. Now, even those who are remaining, reduce the services that each person consumes.
Yes.
For instance, take away his car,
mm-hmm.
okay? Take away his air conditioning and what? Because one person to live a what we would call a good middle class life consumes certain, you know, you require a car, you require, you know, perhaps air conditioning here and all those things. How much water do you use? Maybe in your washing machine and all, stuff like that. Now they want to cut that completely in the name of climate change. Now I want to tell you that climate change is a cult and it is a false cult. The minute you go and start believing their things and speaking like them, they are coming for you, either for your life or for your lifestyle. There is no way out. Anybody who believes the climate change cult, know that they are coming for either your life or your lifestyle. And that's what they want. They want a few people at the top who ride private jets, 200 private jets. We are in Egypt. All those private jets, one of the biggest emitters of carbon aeroplanes. Now, these people could maybe seat 100 people in one aeroplane to reduce, if they actually believed the things they are saying. But no, each one goes in his private jet to Egypt to talk about how they are going to stop people from driving cars because cars are emitting
carbon dioxide.
Yes, yet cars do not emit anywhere close to their aeroplanes, which they are using, their private jets. So it is all hypocrisy, total hypocrisy. And it is a cult. And I see people repeating it, even African leaders. Climate change, climate change. I mean, climate change. And they have been changing for the last 2,000 years when they started recording. So there is no emergency that the world is going to, like, it's all based on false answers. Now, what they did is, actual scientists who came up and disputed the cult of climate change were silenced, taken off social media, done what? Denied jobs, denied funding, the usual thing they did. The same things they did to people who were up against COVID vaccines. Until now, they can no longer do it, and now they are asking for apologies. They are asking that everybody forgives them for deceiving the world that COVID vaccines actually had any effect on preventing COVID. The people themselves have come up and said, we knew the vaccines were not going to help whatsoever in COVID. Okay, but we rolled the vaccines out anyway for reasons. Some reasons, which some of them are commercial. Most of them are still about reducing world population. Now, so anybody who stands out there and starts propagating this cult of climate change, you know that you might believe it at your own risk. They are coming because either for your life or for your lifestyle. Now, reducing carbon emissions is reducing population. Reducing services
offered by each person
To each person.
And the energy produced by each person.
No, the energy consumed.
Consumed
by each person.
Yes.
So that means the services you require.
Yes.
What services do you require? Live a good lifestyle,
transportation,
water,
food,
and all that,
farming.
And all that. So they are reducing it. In Europe, they are even saying that now they are reducing the cows because cows farting adds to carbon emissions. Can you imagine that? And now they are even putting a tax on cows farting, each cow fart. And this is not a joke. I mean, farting, gassing. They are putting a tax on it to reduce cows. So now the number of cows in some of those countries which had huge animal husbandry. Like Netherlands, the number of cows has reduced by a third. Has reduced to a third of what it was. Not by a third, has reduced to a third of what it was because of all this climate change. So they are killing agriculture. They want to kill transportation. They want to make people resident in some places, don't move. The same things which they did in COVID, stay home, stay safe. And now they're trying to implement a system that now forces people not to make unnecessary movements, stay there and be rude from there. It's a very evil system designed straight from the bowels of hell, which is masked as science, which is masked as climate change, but actually is the devil, you know, coming up, like the program of the devil, using his cabinet on earth, who are the World Economic Forum, United Nations, COP, and all those people. And now, you know, using world leaders and so on. So these are very, very dangerous things. But unfortunately, so many people have not seen through it. So I'm seeing even here, we're having conferences here, how to combat climate change. If you want to combat climate change, die. That's what they are telling you. Go and slit your wrist And now they bury you, now they shall not be anymore, you know, you shall not be requiring any services.
Yes.
You will not be requiring any car. Mm. You will not be consuming any energy.
And therefore emitting carbon dioxide.
Mm. That's what they want. They want you to die. Mm. Now, so either die or live like a pauper. Now, anybody, and I'm seeing them on these televisions, when you hear somebody saying climate change, you slap them in the face. I'm telling you the truth. Because they don't know what they're talking about. Okay. Now, at that same place where Bill Gates gave that formula, that's where he said we can use new vaccines to reduce the population of the world by 10 to 15%.
Yes.
And he said, but that is still not sufficient. 10 to 15, he said that in that conference. We can only reduce the population using vaccines. He said that Bill Gates, who is the biggest funder of Gavi, the head of Gavi was here the other day training, telling Ugandans, accept every vaccine. The biggest funder is Bill Gates, who says they want to use vaccines to reduce the population of the world by 10 to 15%. He said that in 2010. I saw it. And they cannot deny it now. So, he's the biggest fan of the World Health Organization. He's the biggest fan of Gavi. And they're the ones sending these vaccines here. He's the biggest, he's a shareholder in both Pfizer and Moderna. So he's a big, and he said the other day his biggest investment is vaccines, because for every dollar he gets $20.
Right.
But also he gets to reduce the population of the world, because he's part of the cabinet of the God of this world. Now, of the devil. So, what I'm telling you is this. So 10 to 15%, which he says is not even enough. Okay, we can use vaccines to kill about 1 billion people, because 15% of the current population equals 1 billion. But the man says that's not enough. So they would want to kill the whole population of Africa, for instance, which is about 1.2 billion.
Yes.
I said, but we still have to kill some more. That is still not enough. That's what he said. This is not made up. So either you take his word and run away from all these new vaccines which are being rolled out, or take the word of his people and go and get vaccinated. And you'll see the number of, like, first of all, he's in court, Bill Gates, in India.
Yes.
Over the increase, they brought back polio, which had died. Now, here, our Minister of Health, the other, not too long ago, said Uganda is now a polio-free country. But now, they are reintroducing a new polio vaccine.
Yes, yes.
That's
yes.
what they did in India. And now the number of polio cases rose up.
A person I know was saying that his child came back home and told him that he has just been vaccinated against, you know, polio, and, you know, being injected on the hand. And the parent was very perplexed. I mean, if we are polio free, why then are they continuing to, you know?
And now these are children who were vaccinated at birth against polio.
Yes.
But now there's a new polio vaccine. And now, that's what happened in India. The number of polio cases increases. The number of autism cases increased. Before these vaccines started, now these are facts, you'd find one case of autism in 10,000 babies. One in 10,000 babies. Now, in some of these countries where they've rolled out, really, you find a case of autism, some from light to severe. One in 30. From 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 30.
Wow.
Now, some people will listen to us. Some people did not listen to us before. But now I pray that they listen to us. Because the things we say, we do not say because we have nothing else to say. We say because we do not want you to be part of this demonic end time population control agenda. And I told you this before, the Lord told me that the devil is planning to kill so many people because there's going to be a great end time revival, which is going to see so many people sweep into the kingdom of God. And the devil would rather that they die and go to hell before they have the chance to receive the Lord. So now, do not believe what is being told to you by all these systems. They are all controlled by finance, by money. Whoever funds tells. The head of Gavi was here the other time telling people, accept all these. There is a lot of vaccine hesitancy. Yes, they should be. Okay? People are growing up healthy without vaccines. Okay? So now, we have a choice to make. By the way, we are in a very, very rough time. I can tell you that for sure. So we are warning you. These people said 15% is still not enough. 15%, that killing 15% is still not enough. They want to kill more than 15%. Yes. That is more than 1 billion people. Yeah, they've said that before.
Yes.
Now there are so many unknown deaths, mysterious deaths from people who are vaccinated for COVID. And now we found out that the COVID vaccine had zero effect. Even Pfizer themselves have acknowledged that. That COVID vaccine had no effect in either combating COVID or reducing the hospitalizations from COVID. None whatsoever. That has been proven. Even the New York Supreme Court recently said that everybody who was dismissed for not taking the COVID vaccine should not only be reinstated in their job, but the salary they have missed throughout all that time should be given back to them because the COVID vaccines were H1.
Yes.
That was the New York Supreme Court, which listened to top doctors.
Yes.
So don't listen to these clowns here at the Ministry of Health telling you Kableta is not a doctor. I am telling you what top doctors, which these people will never achieve. They cannot even make a Panado. But now those people who make these things, we are all interviewed by the Supreme Court, and it was acknowledged that the vaccines were fake.
Were fake, yes.
But now they are causing people to die.
Mm.
So now, either listen to us, because we do research for you, and we have the Spirit of God, and we know what the enemy is planning through this time. Anyway, I would want to end by saying that when we are at this, every Friday we have a fellowship. It's here in Kampala. It's at Lugogo, Uma Showgrounds.
Yes.
Come and learn how we can be part of this end time army.
Yes.
Because you see, there are so many lazy people. It's going to take just 2 hours of your time. Okay? From about maybe 6 to like 8:30. 2.5 hours of your time. Come and learn how we are going to be part of this end time army.
Yes.
Do not be caught in deception. Do not just sit back and think everything is going to be given to you through radio. It is not. If you're up country, that's a different story. We'll try to give as much as on radio as we can. But if you are in Kampala, make sure every Friday evening, 6 come to Rugogo. If you're late, make sure you're there at least by 7. And we're teaching you how to be part of God's end time army and reverse back all this deception, which the enemy is quietly seeping through our society. When COVID first came out, I was the only person who was. I refused any of those COVID things. People were blasting me, Pastor, what? But now they found out I was right.
Yes.
Now I want us to see what else are they planning so that you prepare yourself ahead of time to make sure that when the enemy comes with deception, you are ready for it because you knew what he was planning. We know these things before they come to pass.
Yes.
We study them before they come to pass. Now we know even what else they are planning. I thought we'd talk about some of those things now, but we cannot. Maybe in consequent radio shows.
Yes.
But come and learn how we can be part of this and how we can transform this nation for Christ. We have to leave it here. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Watchman radio broadcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to what we are talking about. We shall continue updating you on what's happening in the world and in our country. In the meantime, God bless you all and have yourselves a wonderful evening. And if anybody took the COVID vaccine, now believe that God is going to flush it out of your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus, anybody who now is listening to this program, whether today or any other day, and took the COVID vaccine, in the name of Jesus, I believe that now they are, all those who are listening, in the name of Jesus, I pray that that thing, the effects of it, are flushed out of their body.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Believe that in the name of Jesus, the effects of the vaccine are flushed out of your body right now in Jesus' name. If you believe with me this prayer, it is done. Amen.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 752 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources, and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.